Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. The Book of Enos kicks off a series of several very short books. The next few books are going to be one chapter each. Arguably, one of them is even less than that. But we'll get there. So, to give a little background to where we are, just to recap what's happened up to this point, is there was a man named Lehi, 600 years before Jesus was born, lived in Jerusalem, had a wife and some kids. They and another family took off from Jerusalem because Lehi had a vision that it was going to be destroyed. He was a prophet. And they crossed the ocean, came to the ancient Americas somewhere, and gave rise to a new civilization. And in fact, that civilization broke in two. One of Lehi's sons was named Nephi. He wrote the first couple books of the Book of Mormon. He was a righteous leader, and the people who believed in God followed him. Lehi's oldest son was named Laman. He also had a son named Lemuel. Those two were knuckleheads. They went off and rebelled, and they started a separate civilization. And so now we have the Nephites and the Lamanites, and they're constantly at odds with each other. The last book was written by Jacob, who was Nephi's little brother. Nephi handed the record off to him when he was done with it. Jacob wrote a few chapters, and now he has handed it off to his son Enos. And that brings us to the Book of Enos. So let's just dive right into verse 1, and we'll read the whole thing because it's only one chapter. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forests, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high that it reached the heavens. Enos doesn't tell us exactly when this story took place, but apparently at some point he was out hunting, and he thought about the words his father Jacob, who was a prophet and taught a lot of things, had spoken about God and eternal life and all these sorts of things, and he really wanted to understand them for himself, and so instead of hunting that day, he just prayed. Sounds like he prayed the whole day and looking for answers. Verse 5, and there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen, and many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. So Enos prays, he hears a voice telling him he's forgiven. He says, how does that work? And God tells him it's because of Jesus. And he feels good about that, and then he prays some more for his brethren, the Nephites. That's the civilization he's a part of. Verse 10, and while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore, I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. So Enos prays for the Nephites, who we think of as the good guys because they wrote this record and because they believe in God. And God says, I will bless them as long as they follow me, and they'll be in trouble if they don't. Verse 11, and after Enos had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord. And I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren, the Lamanites. So this is the other nation that the Nephites are constantly at war with. There's the Nephites and the Lamanites, and they just don't get along. Enos is now praying for the welfare, basically, of his enemies. Verse 12, and it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires because of thy faith. And now behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that if it should so be that my people the Nephites should fall into transgression, and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. For at the present our strugglings were vain in restoring them to the true faith. And they swore in their wrath that if it were possible they would destroy our records, and us, and also all the traditions of our fathers. Wherefore, I knowing that the Lord God was able to preserve our records, I cried unto him continually, for he had said unto me, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask in faith, believing that ye shall receive in the name of Christ, ye shall receive it. And I had faith, and I did cry unto God that he would preserve the records, and he covenanted with me that he would bring them forth unto the Lamanites in his own due time. And I, Enos, knew it would be according to the covenant which he had made, wherefore my soul did rest. So Enos prays for his own welfare, and he's told that his sins are forgiven. Then he prays for the Nephites, and he's told that they will be blessed as long as they're righteous, and they'll be destroyed if they aren't. And perhaps that got him thinking, well, if they get destroyed, these records we're keeping, where we write down our prophecies and stuff, ought to be preserved, and maybe they can reclaim the Lamanites and bring them back to the truth. And so he prays for that, and God says that will be the case. And we know from vision that Nephi had that the Book of Mormon is going to end in tragedy. The Nephites will eventually be destroyed. But as we can see, their record was preserved because here we are reading it right now on a podcast of all things. Verse 18. And the Lord said unto me, Thy fathers have also required of me this thing, and it shall be done unto them according to their faith, for their faith was like unto thine. And now it came to pass that I, Enos, went about among the people of Nephi, prophesying of things to come, and testifying of the things which I had heard and seen. So my guess is this is sort of how Enos was called to be a prophet. This is a pretty remarkable experience, hearing the voice of God, not a thing that happens to a lot of people. I don't know for sure if this happened before Jacob died or after. Anyway, Enos is telling us about it, and that's what we've got. Verse 20, And I bear record that the people of Nephi did seek diligently to restore the Lamanites unto the true faith in God. But our labors were vain. Their hatred was fixed, and they were led by their evil nature, and they became wild and ferocious and a bloodthirsty people, full of idolatry and filthiness, feeding upon beasts of prey, dwelling in tents and wandering about in the wilderness with a short skin girdle about their loins and their heads shaven. And their skill was in the bow and in the scimitar and in the axe. And many of them did eat nothing save it were raw meat. And they were continually seeking to destroy us. Sounds like a pretty scary bunch. Verse 21. And it came to pass that the people of Nephi did till the land and raise all manner of grain and of fruit and flocks and herds and flocks of all manner of cattle of every kind and goats and wild goats and also many horses. So it sounds like the Nephites are more of an agrarian society and the Lamanites are just wandering around hunting and, seeking to eat wild beasts and also to kill the Nephites. Verse 22. And there were exceedingly many prophets among us, and the people were a stiff-necked people, hard to understand. And there was nothing save it was exceeding harshness, preaching and prophesying of wars and contentions and destructions, and continually reminding them of death and the duration of eternity and the judgments of the power of God, and all these things, stirring them up continually to keep them in the fear of the Lord. I say there was nothing short of these things, and exceedingly great plainness of speech would keep them from going down speedily to destruction. And after this manner do I write concerning them. This is going to be a trend we see throughout these short books. Jacob, I have called a hard-nosed prophet. He really liked to rub in the fact that the people were not being obedient to the commandments of God and encouraging them to obey them and threatening them literally with fire and brimstone. Enos seems to have a similar feeling that the only way to get through to these folks is to be really, really clear and brutal or not, whatever. And we're going to see that Jerem, which is the next book, and Omni, which is the next book, this pattern continues. And it turns out not to be just fluff. It turns out the Nephites were actually doing some pretty bad things. So stay tuned for that. Verse 24. And I saw wars between the Nephites and Lamanites in the course of my days, and it came to pass that I began to be old, and 179 years had passed away from the time that our father Lehi left Jerusalem. And I saw that I must soon go down to my grave, having been wrought upon by the power of God, that I must preach and prophesy unto this people, and declare the word according to the truth which is in Christ. And I have declared it in all my days, and have rejoiced in it above that of the world. And I soon go to the place of my rest, which is with my Redeemer, for I know that in him I shall rest. And I rejoice in the day when my mortal shall put on immortality and shall stand before him. Then shall I see his face with pleasure, and he will say unto me, Come unto me, ye blessed. There is a place prepared for you in the mansions of my Father. Amen. That's the end of the Book of Enos. That's the entirety of the Book of Enos. Next time, we'll pick up with his son, Jerem.